Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Monday, the start of a brand new week here. Donna is in the control room, twiddling the dials, ready to answer the phone if you want to join us on the air during the festivities today. The number is 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. We're back from our little holiday Easter weekend, and it was kind of fun, a little relaxing, diabetic comas from all the candy and everything, trying to answer, you know, some of life's great questions about Easter. Which came first, the chocolate egg or the chocolate chicken? Didn't quite get an answer on that one. Maybe we'll solve that one next year. But just as a little kind of a side note here, we have a lot of kids who live in the neighborhood. And because this is a residence, we home office. I do the show out of a bedroom in this condo. And apparently, radio host has become the new neighborhood game for all the kids. They're all out there with cardboard microphones and stuff. And I thought that was... On one hand, I think it's funny. On the other hand, I think, my goodness, how many lives have I just ruined here in the pursuit of my media, whatever it is I'm pursuing in the media. Anyway, getting back to the serious stuff here, the Dow today started kind of down, edged its way up. It ended about 26 points down. And, you know, you can wonder, what is going on? We know the economy is in trouble. Where is this upward impetus coming from? The corporate media is telling us that the market went up today from its early, very low start because of the announcement that Barack Obama will make a speech about the economy tomorrow. Well, he makes speeches all the time. In fact, it's getting very hard to get the guy to shut up. And we don't know what the speech will be saying. He may get up there and say, you know, my fellow Americans, you're on your own. Thank you. Good night. And we don't know that it's going to be good. And yet the fact that Obama's going to get up there and open his mouth was considered the reason why the stock market went up. Meanwhile, there are some other theories about this. A gentleman by the name of Mike Morgan has been running a website on Goldman Sachs and basically exposing that Goldman Sachs is, in fact, in the process of manipulating the stock market right now. That's not really a surprise for those of us who've been following the stories of the plunge protection team, because it's always centered around Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs has gone to a law firm to try and shut Mike Morgan's website down. We're working on getting Mike on the show as a guest probably toward the end of this week to find out what's going on with that. Obviously, a very dangerous situation where companies feel that they have the right to exercise prior restraint or denial of our First Amendment rights on the blogosphere. And we're here to speak truth to power. And power is getting a little annoyed. And we're going to start seeing some real major fights going on over the people trying to get the truth out and the people who are just determined that the truth is going to be buried. Because as long as they can lie to us, they can control us. And if they can control us, they can become rich off of us. And my view is that the blogosphere and their alternative media, this is a revolutionary moment in history. And I don't mean that in the sense of blood and gore and beheadings and all the rest of that. But if you look at how society was transformed by Gutenberg's movable type printing and the sudden availability of inexpensive books for the common people, and how that literally changed the world, we're seeing the same thing right now with the blogosphere. And going back to Gutenberg's time, it is worth studying how the established power elite of Gutenberg's time tried to contain this, tried to prevent things from coming out. Certainly, the biggest problem was for the church, because every regional church had been changing the Bible and changing the Bible to suit what they thought they wanted to be teaching their own congregations. And over the course of the centuries, the different versions of the Bible had become quite different, were self-contradictory in a lot of cases. And this is what led eventually to the creation of the King James Bible. So it was a tremendous social and cultural upheaval. And those political systems that could adapt are still with us. Those that couldn't adapt basically went extinct. And we're seeing the same thing going here. And I think the more and more certain parties fight against the new reality, the new paradigm of information flow, the more obvious it is that they're on the list of those institutions that must eventually go extinct. So, We're going to be talking about that whole situation. Now, the economy, despite all of the talk about, yes, Barack shall speaketh tomorrow, and all will be well with the economy. I'm not buying it. I don't think you should. The indications are still very bad. We are expecting in the remainder of this month that there's going to be a new wave of home foreclosures that are coming due. People are basically, they're running out of time. We're coming up on that 6 month where they've not been able to make their mortgage payments. They've been delinquent. The automatic foreclosure process is starting to go in. Maybe Obama will declare a moratorium on that because, and that would be a smart thing for him to do. Because as more foreclosures hit, it's going to depress the real estate market. We're going to see more people go into negative equity. It's a mess. And the bottom line is that until we get some help to the common people, the working people, the middle classes, until we start bailing them out, we're not going to be able to fix the economy. I'm not very hopeful. I've really lost all faith and trust in Barack Obama. He's an incredible disappointment. And so I will obviously be listening to his speech tomorrow, but I'm not expecting anything really surprising over there. Now, over the weekend, I put up, it started originally as a commentary about the revelation that the U.S. was shipping more arms to Israel, including white phosphorus, and the presumption that they're going to be used on the Palestinians. And I put up a very long, involved comment, which was titled, Killing the Family of Jesus. And it basically said that present-day genetic research is showing that the Palestinians have a direct genetic link to the biblical Israelites. And I said, okay, without getting into the issue of whether Jesus and Mary Magdalene had kids, the Bible says Jesus had brothers and sisters. And some of the Bibles, some of the religions try and spin it that it's, oh, they're really only cousins. It doesn't really count. Or they're Josephs by an earlier marriage. And they're basically trying to isolate Jesus from the rest of the population because of his deification. But there is no reason to expect that Jesus' mother, Mary, was an only child. And so it stands to reason that going back through all the generations and stuff, that the historical Jesus had cousins, aunts, uncles, the Bible says he had brothers and sisters, all of those people had children, and all of those children had children, and all of those children had children. And the bottom line is, it is inescapable that today, right now, walking around Palestine, there are people who are blood relations, distant, yes, but still blood relations of the historical Jesus Christ. And Israel's killing them. And you, the American taxpayer, are being forced to pay for the weapons used to kill the family of Jesus. So when you sign that 1040 form, you're signing a murder confession. And I don't know, I think you just might have a real hard time getting past St. Peter at the pearly gate with that on your conscience. And it's just something to think about as we go through Easter and get away from just chocolate Easter eggs and bunnies and all the rest of that stuff. Now, turning to the situation about the Somali pirates. Now, obviously, they don't call themselves pirates. This is something our corporate media just threw on them as a label. They're pirates. And with all the image that that entails of yo-ho, yo-ho, and swords, and boarding cutlasses, and away me hearties, we're going to be seizing the swag from the ship. And there's a very negative connotation to piracy on the high seas. And yet, this is just a label that our propaganda department has dropped on these Somalis. There is another side to the story. Following the collapse of the Somali government back in 1991, remember the whole Black Hawk down and we were in there messing around. And by the way, evidence has surfaced that the United States is still engaging in covert destabilization operations inside Somalia to this very day. So it's an area of the world our government has been interested in for quite some time, along with that whole honor-bound thing of we must recover our honor from that terrible whatever. So we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the other side of the Somalia situation and a legitimate gripe they may have with the rest of the world. 800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about this big issue about the Somalia pirates and what's going on over there. And first of all, I want to take a little side note here about the resolution over the weekend where the captain of the seized ship was rescued. And it's being promoted all over the corporate media as this big heroic thing proving how wonderful the American military can be when they decide to take decisive action. You need to remember that this lifeboat in which the so-called pirates and the captain were in was out of fuel. It was actually lashed by a rope to an American warship, so it wasn't really getting away to anywhere. It turns out the lifeboat was not only out of fuel, they were out of ammunition. And at one point, they tried to make a deal. They said, we will give you the captain, you just let us go. And the U.S. said no. And apparently, knowing that the so-called pirates were out of ammunition, that's when the SEALs went in and basically shot a bunch of unarmed guys. Rescued the captain, got a photo op, they're big heroes, blah, 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 blah. They'll be getting medals over this whole thing. Now, here's the situation. The Somalis are not calling themselves pirates, and they don't consider themselves to be pirates. They consider themselves to be a volunteer Coast Guard, and they have the support of the Somali people. Here's what's been going on, apparently. Since the Somali government collapsed in 1991, the rest of the world, or at least that part of the world, has decided that Somalia's coastal waters are up for grab. And two things have been going on that have not gotten a tremendous amount of press coverage in the corporate media. And both of them are of serious concern to the Somalis. The first is, there have been these unmarked cargo ships or false flagged cargo ships that are dumping containers of nuclear waste onto the floor of the ocean off the coast of Somalia. Now, in theory, these containers are sealed and they don't think they're going to be leaking. But that changed during the great tsunami. Remember the Boxing Day earthquake and some of these drums got washed up on the shore and broke open. There have been cancers and birth defects and deaths from this very, very toxic material. And obviously, the fact that this is occurring in Somalia's territorial water without the government of Somalia's permission, that is a crime. That is definitely a crime. The other issue is that fishing trawlers from other countries are simply scooping up fish from Somalia's territorial waters. They've fished out their own waters. They're almost completely depleted. Oh, wow, there's lots of fish there off the coast of Somalia, and there's nobody to chase us away. So they go down with their trawlers. They run the net. They get a huge amount of fish. They go home, and they sell it. And they're not paying Somalia any money for the fish taken from their territorial waters. So what appears to be going on is that this volunteer Coast Guard is going out and attempting to catch the ships that are doing the nuclear waste dumping. And the other thing is when they catch a fishing boat, they're basically grabbing it. And what our corporate media is saying, being held for ransom, the Somalis view it as a tax. They say you should be paying a tax to be fishing in our waters because these are our fish and we need them to live on. You don't just come in here into our territorial waters and scoop up tons of fish and skedaddle and have nothing but profit and leave us with nothing. So there is another side to this story. And before you get into this idea, oh, come on, it would never be that obvious and that blatant and that biased. Remember that Great Britain at one time fought a war with China over their right to sell opium to the Chinese people. So is it that absurd to suggest that the United States may be preparing to fight a war in Somalia, who is going to be very easy for the Americans to whoop because, you know, they've got nothing to work with. You know, the U.S. is picking on really easy targets these days. And like, you know, a boat without gas and without ammo. We're going to send the SEALs in and take care of them. You know, big, huge, Bush-type people here. And is it really that absurd to suggest that the United States is getting ready to go into Somalia militarily to preserve its right to dump nuclear waste in their territorial waters or their right to go on stealing fish. I mean, wars have been fought for food before, and the U.S. is never, never shy about dropping very dangerous chemical and other weapons any place they feel like it. We had a story over the last weekend. The U.S. military, at the end of World War II, dumped thousands of tons of chemical weapons into the ocean off the shores of Oahu. I can look out my window here to the left and see the spot on the ocean over where these weapons are lying there. And they've been there for 50 years, corroding in the salt water. And the U.S. Army just said, well, we're convinced they're not going to start leaking and we're not going to clean up the mess. And, you know, let us know if you start getting any fish with 12 eyes on the top of their head, because then maybe we'll pay attention. Or maybe the fish will all of a sudden go away. Or worse, we'll start having tourists fall over dead in the restaurants from eating fish that has been on a Lewisite diet. So the U.S. government is, they're perfectly capable of this kind of a nightmare and telling us that it's all about pirates. We're going to go beat the pirates. It'll be the Barbary Coast all over again and the halls of Tripoli. And won't it be cool? We're going to go, we're going to get the pirates. And what we're calling pirates is actually a volunteer Coast Guard trying to preserve their food stocks, trying to preserve their health of the Somali people. Have we not done enough to that part of Africa? Is Barack Obama so desperate for a war that he's going to wade us back into Africa? Because he doesn't dare take on Iran, and he can't take on Russia. And he's losing in Afghanistan and not even doing all that well in Iraq. So he needs an easy target. He needs somebody that the U.S. can conquer. Put a flag up and get some really nice photos for the magazine covers. Because he really needs that. And it's like, we need a war, and Somalia drew the short straw. So there we are. Now, moving on a little bit here. Let's scroll on down here a little bit. You probably heard this over the news break before the show, that Barack Obama is loosening some of the restrictions for communication between the United States and Cuba. And personally, I think this is a good thing. I think we've had that embargo in place for way too long. It makes the U.S. government look petty and vindictive and mean for the big, mighty United States to act like it is somehow threatened by this little tiny island in the middle of the Caribbean. Like Cuba could somehow be a threat to us, especially after the collapse of the USSR. But the part about this story on the news break that really annoyed me was coming out with the statement that the full embargo, even though they're going to let people talk back and forth and you can send money and there's going to be looser travel and everything, but the full embargo will remain in effect as long as Cuba continues to violate human rights. And, you know, this from the United States, from the country that grabbed Iraqi taxi drivers who'd done no wrong and tortured them to death to find nuclear weapons that didn't exist. I mean, talk about the pot calling the kettle black here. The United States at this point, especially with Barack Obama refusing to prosecute for the war crimes and torture of the last 8 years, for him to sit there and talk about another country's human rights record, we have no moral right to presume to tell any other country how they should be handling human rights within their own borders. It is obscene for Barack Obama to even make such a comment. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. I mean, the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Our control room wizard, Donovan, reminded me that, if we're going to talk about human rights violations in Cuba, aren't the worst ones taking place on Guantanamo at the hands of Americans? And that's why this thing that Barack Obama is coming out with, we're going to keep the embargo as long as Cuba continues to violate human rights. What utter nonsense. What utter arrogance. whom the gods would destroy, they first make proud, I think. I don't know. It's just, it's absurd. And it just shows the extreme silliness of the propaganda campaign. There's a huge disconnect in Washington, D.C., between what is really going on in the world and this manufactured front that they're putting out there and expect us all to say, oh, yes, that's the reality. I think the other absurd one, of course, is this idea about refusing to acknowledge that Israel has nuclear weapons, because that would mean it would be illegal under U.S. law to be sending them foreign aid. So they continue this charade of refusing to acknowledge Israel's nuclear weapons. When you've got reporters in the White House press corps who finally got the courage to say, you know, what countries in the Middle East have got weapons? Oh, well, we're going to do this. And you see, you know, Barack Obama start to do his little tap dance, and he's got his tap shoes on there and just and dodges the whole issue. And it's silly because I guess in Barack's mind, if he doesn't admit that Israel has nuclear weapons, then that's just the way it is around the world. And Barack, no. Okay? You don't get to decide reality for us. You're supposed to be fixing the economy and keeping the streets repaired and getting our schools and hospitals back in shape. And you're supposed to be prosecuting the people who broke the torture laws. You do not have the authority to tell us all what reality is. It's not in the Constitution. It doesn't come with a job. You're not paid that much. So I don't know. It's for reasons like this, when he makes stupid comments like this, that I'm not expecting miracles in his economic speech tomorrow. Now, a couple of other things happening here. As you know, we are coming up on tax day. 2 days from now is when you're supposed to file your federal income tax forms or an extension. You can file for an extension, and I know a lot of people are, because especially entrepreneurs over this last year, as the economy went south, it came down to a choice between making a quarterly tax payment and paying that skyrocketing mortgage and that skyrocketing gas bill and all the rest of that stuff. And they had to make a choice. And the choice was, I'm going to keep my home. I'm not going to be homeless just so the government gets a check. That's not what the government's job is supposed to be. The government's supposed to be taking care of me in exchange for all the money. So anyway, there are going to be huge, huge protests all across the country. Taxes are too high. The other side, the government, is coming out with, I think, has to be one of the lamest propaganda attempts I have ever seen in my life. And I'm seeing this pop up all over the place, where they're saying that the opposition to tax, the tax protests, it's a GOP trick. It's a trick by the rich people. They're just using the poor people to try and get lower taxes so the rich will have more money. And the poor people shouldn't go along with it. You should be just happy to send $40,000 or $50,000 to the federal government, because if you do, it means those nasty rich will have to send $100,000, and isn't that worth it? No, it isn't. They're trying to trick us back into this idea about who is paying more taxes, whether the rich should pay more or the poor should pay more. It is divide and conquer. Folks, taxes are too high on everybody. The poor are paying way too much. The rich are paying way too much. We're all paying way too much. That's what we need to remember. We are united in our impoverishment at the hands of a government that can't manage its own checkbook. And between the reckless government spending and Wall Street's absolute total disregard for fiscal responsibility, and they're teaming up. It's this band of brothers between Wall Street and Pennsylvania Avenue. They're teaming up to stick us with the bill. And it's time that we all stood up as one American people and said, no. This is not an issue about rich versus poor, young versus old, male versus female, white versus black. It's not an issue that divides the American people. This is an issue that unites us into one. We are all taxed way too much. And the money that we are forced to put into the government does not buy us very many services. The roads are full of holes. The schools are shameful. We can't even train people to handle the jobs that the few jobs our economy has. We're having to import people who have real educations to come in and handle some of these high technology jobs. Our schools are doing nothing but political indoctrination these days. Global warming this and Holocaust that, and all this Margaret Mead nonsense about social engineering. Our hospitals are closing. The emergency rooms are shutting down. We're paying more and more money and getting less and less back for it. Yes, other nations have got taxes about the same as much as what we're paying here in America. But in those countries, you get free health care. You get a free college education. The roads are in wonderful shape. The schools and hospitals are all well maintained because they're not spending the money on things that kill people to the same extent the U.S. government does. So over the next 2 days, and especially on Wednesday, when you join that protest, remember, those people trying to say, oh, it's just a trick by the rich and everything, they're trying to divide you. They're trying to trick you into going back to this idea of pointing fingers at each other over who's getting the best tax breaks. Because as long as you're fighting amongst yourself, you won't see who the real enemy is. So just remember, it's not a question of who pays more or who should pay more. We're all paying too much. Every single one of us, we're paying too much. Absolutely. All right, moving on down here, and this came up here just in the last few days. There is a bill in the Senate right now about the new Cybersecurity Act of 2009, and it contains a lot of provisions, all of which amount to the fact that the government has finally realized that the biggest single threat to their ability to lie to the American people anymore is here on the Internet, on the blogs, and on the alternative media. We had a story that came out of London over the weekend where they said, you know, that unregulated blogosphere is, they're a force to be reckoned with, and they have been for the last 10 years, which I was a little insulted because I've been doing this for 16 years, and I thought I was a force to be reckoned with all the way back at the beginning, or I wouldn't have been getting all those death threats. So the powers that be are finally officially beginning to recognize that, yeah, they've lost the battle for the minds of the world. They can't lie people into supporting an agenda. They can't manufacture consent anymore, which used to be the little politically correct term about lying people into supporting something. And they're trying to figure out what they're going to do about it. So this new bill that is in the Senate, along with all this other thing about security of this, and we're going to do that, and basically everybody who's read it is saying it's not going to accomplish what it claims to accomplish. But one of the provisions that's in there gives the president the authority to shut down the Internet in the event of a national emergency. Now, we know what that national emergency is going to be. It's going to be the next false flag attack to try and kick off World War III. And they're going to shut down the Internet because they know we'll pick it apart in a matter of seconds. They can't come up with a hoax that's really convincing anymore. We proved that with 9/11. We proved that with TWA 800. We proved that with the Oklahoma City bombing, which is the anniversary of that's coming up here in another week. They can't come up with a convincing fake anymore because there are so many highly qualified technical people, film experts, computer experts, all of it out here on the blogosphere, and we pull it all apart. We find the mistakes. We find the video where the BBC talking head is announcing the collapse of World Trade 7 and the building is still standing behind them. We're going to find all of that stuff. They can't hide it. Every time something happens now, we TiVo it immediately because we know that the corporate media is going to lose the original raw video and it will just vanish into history. But it doesn't because it's kept out here. So those of you who are technically competent, technically savvy, you might want to look into something called FidoNet, because we may have to set up an alternative Internet to keep ourselves going after Barack Obama pulls the panic button. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show today. And it's our last segment. A couple of things we want to talk about here. A week or so ago, you remember, we had that MIAC report that came out of the Missouri Fusion Center. That is a taxpayer-funded collection point where they have access to all of these databases the government has set up on you. And they're, in theory, supposed to pull all of this information together with advanced data mining techniques in order to create profiles of people who might be potential terrorists. And they came out with this report to the police saying that people who supported third-party candidates like Ron Paul or potential terrorists, and people who talk about the Constitution are potential terrorists, and just all of this really absurd stuff. And the reaction to it was so negative, they basically withdrew the report, and now the ACLU is demanding that these fusion centers be looked at. What has since come out is that all this fusion center did, apparently they had so much data to go through, they couldn't really accomplish much of anything. So they basically accepted a couple of reports from the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League. And these reports said, this is what a potential terrorist is, and they just went with that. They basically took ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center propaganda, and issued that as an official report of this Missouri Fusion Center. And it's just absurd. I mean, obviously, ADL has a political agenda. They're not looking out for the welfare of the ordinary American. Well, now we're seeing this story here, where the U.S. government, Homeland Security, has just released this report. It's been leaked, actually. It was not supposed to be made public, but it's been leaked. And basically, it's a threat assessment. And it basically says anybody who owns a gun is a potential terrorist. Okay? They can't get the Second Amendment repealed. They can't trick us out of our guns. They can't lie us out of the guns. Now they're going to simply declare us all as potential terrorists, and no doubt there will probably be some kind of a law passed saying, well, if you're a potential terrorist, you're not really a citizen. The Second Amendment doesn't apply. They're basically trying to find a weasel word way to justify gun confiscation again. And, folks, you know, you can go through all of this MIAC and Homeland Security and all the rest of it, but I'll give it to you in a nutshell. What these reports are saying is that anybody who supports what this country was under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights is the enemy. That's what they're saying. People who want freedom of speech, they're the enemy of the U.S. government. People who want the right to peacefully assemble and petition the government for redress of grievances, they are the enemy in the eyes of the U.S. government. People who have guns and who know they've got a constitutional right to own and possess them, they're the enemy in the eyes of the current U.S. government. What the current U.S. government is doing is declaring war on Americans. There's another agenda at work. They want to turn the United States of America into something else completely. Gaza, for all I know, is what's coming, what's in the offing. They want us disarmed and helpless. They want us to shut up and do as we're told, pay taxes until we're living in hovels, and send our children off to die in wars. That seems to be the agenda. There is no respect left in the halls of government for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and certainly no respect at all for the American people. And that is a very, very dangerous situation, because you can't have a ruling body that has lost all respect for its own people and expect there to be peace and stability. It doesn't work that way. Now, we're hearing a story now from one of the people who did the credit default swaps. And he's basically going public. I guess he's no longer in the business since it's become a disaster. But leading derivatives trader and expert, and I'm going to say this slowly, Satyajit Das, wrote an article today basically saying that the reality is that the whole credit default swap, all of these new derivatives that were held aloft as financial innovations, all they were supposed to do, all they were designed to do, was conceal risk, confuse the investors, and reduce transparency. The idea was, by putting all of these layers and layers and layers of these derivatives on top of what were recognized to be risky investments, they were able to lure the suckers in. And as long as the real estate market was going up, everything was all hunky-dory. Everybody was making enough money to where the flaw in the system didn't show. But as soon as the real estate market started to decline, and remember, we're going to have another round of foreclosures toward the end of this month, is the current forecast, it all kind of came apart. So all of these wonderful financial products were never really products. They were all frauds. They were con games. It was an attempt to take something, well, they were trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. This is another phrase I'd use, but the FCC would be in here to shut down our transmitter by the end of the day. But, I mean, that's basically it. We now have a leading credit default swap trader saying it was all a con. And yet, Barack Obama's solution to the economic hardship is to drop more debt on the American people, $100,000 per taxpayer so far, and take that money and drop it onto these fraudsters. Every day goes by, they nail another one of these people for running a pyramid scheme. We're rapidly approaching the point where it's going to be perceived by the public that the majority of Wall Street was engaged in fraud. It's not just a tiny minority. It's not just a Bernie Madoff over here and a Stanford here and this guy there and that guy there. It's going to be perceived as a systemic problem. And at that point, taking more money from the American people to reward what is essentially being exposed as a criminal enterprise, that's not going to go over too well with the American people, especially as we continue to lose our homes and our jobs. I mean, I don't care what the stock market is doing. It's still very bad out there. You know, we're seeing commercial places close, restaurants are going out of business, and every time they do, more people are being laid off of work. And the bottom line is, until we get people working at the salaries, at the wages they were making before, we're not going to be able to fix this economy. Meanwhile, we're seeing a report here that if you skip past all of the number crunching and seasonal adjustment that the U.S. government does to try and make things look better than they really are, which seems to be all they can think of doing right now, that the actual unemployment rate for the United States right now is 20%. One out of every five people is out of work. They're unemployed. They're underemployed. They've had to take a job for a tiny fraction of what they used to make. And at the worst of the Great Depression in 1929, it was estimated that unemployment was at 25%. So, folks, we're there. We don't call it a recession anymore. We are in a depression. And the government put us there. And they don't seem awful sorry about having done it either, do they? All right. We're down to the last couple of minutes of the show. Over in Thailand, we're seeing protests all over the world. There's a video I just put up on whatreallyhappened.com where a group of French protesters literally going into supermarkets, they're pulling Israeli products off the shelves, and they're just putting them in boxes and shoving them off in the corner so people won't buy them. As the boycott against Israel spreads further and further. And it's impacting Israel's economy. Unfortunately, it means Israel will turn around and come to the U.S. government and say, oh, we're suffering from the boycott. You've got to give us more money. And Obama will say, sure, here's another check. And here's another bunch of weapons. You know, hey, have all the white phosphorus you can take. Meanwhile, the protests in Thailand are turning ugly. The Thai army was witnessed by the BBC firing live rounds into the crowds of anti-government protesters. And, of course, when a government starts opening fire on its own people, that does not go down very well. It certainly didn't work at Tiananmen Square. And this shooting by the Thai government into their own people, this could be their Amritsar, which was the massacre in India that signaled the end of the legitimacy of British rule over India. So I think this is their version of Kent State. And it's getting ugly out there, but there are some people in power who want to stay in power, even if they have to kill off large portions of their own population to do it. Now, interestingly enough, we're almost out of time here today, but I wanted to cover this. Good news from the world of blogging, because we're finding the stuff the corporate media should and doesn't. It turns out that the blog, The Scientific Activist, discovered that the NASA public affairs aide, George Deutsch, who is legendary for browbeating NASA scientists to support global warming, never actually graduated from Texas A&M University, as he claims to have done on his resume. So, congratulations to scientific activists. Meanwhile, hard data coming in is showing that Arctic ice is, in fact, expanding and thickening over the last 12 years, and major cooling in February and March. So, the data, again, global warming is a hoax. It is being perpetrated on you to take money from you and to get you ready for a global environmental government, which will morph into a global dictatorship on your head and on your wallet. That's the end of our show today. We'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central Time. Tune in then. Tell all your friends. Stay safe. Be well. Give away the last of your Easter eggs, and we'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.